One thing that all of us must learn to do is cope with change. Simply because change is inevitable in our lives. If nowhere else, we experience change within ourselves. After all, every person comes into this world as a tiny, helpless infant, and from there he or she moves on to the various stages of development: childhood, adolescence, youth, young adulthood, mature adulthood, and then old age. The best is yet to come, I hope. Now, each of those stages of growth confronts each of us with some necessity for changing. At each level of life, we must continually rethink our attitudes and somehow readjust our method of living. But not all change happens within ourselves. It also takes place out there in the world around us. We do not live today in the same world as it was 20 years ago, and 20 years from now, the world will not be the same as it is today. In the words we just heard from Jesus in the Gospel, Jesus speaks to the disciples about this inevitability of change. Now, I know that his language is vivid and poetic, the kind the people of his culture understood so well. And as a result, some people today think that he was speaking about cataclysmic events that would foretell the end of the world. But in reality, Jesus was simply preparing his followers, the disciples, for the kind of change that would take place in their own lifetime. And we people today need that very same kind of preparation for changes today. Living as we do in this rapidly changing world, how can we people today make this element of change our friend and not our enemy? Now, for one thing, we can always try to recognize that change of any kind is really a stimulant. It discourages drowsiness. It shakes us wide awake and keeps us on our toes. Now, that, of course, is one thing that we really do not like about change, especially for some people, any kind of changes in the church. Our desire so often is to remain comfortable and then just to go on staying that way. Now, fortunately, life does not afford us that kind of option, which is really a luxury. At least, not for very long can we stay in that rut. Do you remember from childhood that gadget that we used to play with called a kaleidoscope? It happens to become popular again these days. You could look into one end of it and see all of those geometrical patterns multiplied and reflected with a series of mirrors. And then you would turn the kaleidoscope just ever so slightly, and the patterns would dramatically change. Today, our modern world is much like that. Just about the time that we got settled down and feeling secure with life, some unseen hand, as it were, turns the kaleidoscope, the patterns of life change, and we are forced to rethink our values, rearrange our lives, whether we want to or not. Now, I know that sometimes, for all of us, the most difficult hill that we must climb is the side of a rut in which we are stuck. But it always can be done with the grace of God. Now, this tendency in life to disrupt our well-laid plans, to disturb our sought-after tranquility, is not pleasant. But in the long run, it does become beneficial. It keeps us from settling down into a lifestyle or a rut, or for settling for a kind of world, both of which are far afield from the plans and the purposes of God in our lives. It was Tennyson who wrote, "Welcome each rebuff that turns earth's smoothness rough. Welcome each sting that bids not sit, not stand, but go." That is what we are saying here. Change is really our friend when we see it positively as a stimulant, something that simply will not allow us to fall asleep in some kind of way of life that is so far less than what our God really had intended it to be for us. Now, in the second place, we should learn to take this positive attitude toward change in life if we are really going to call ourselves authentic followers of Christ. If there is anything that our Lord never was and never showed any inclination to become, it was a defender of the status quo. In fact, he was just quite the opposite. One day he said to his followers, "Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? I assure you the contrary is true. I have come for division." And Jesus was indeed the most disturbing, the most divisive personality that ever walked upon the face of this earth. Jesus challenged all of the major axioms of his time upon which society and the synagogue was built. The people, of course, did their very best to silence him, discredit him. And when they found out they could do neither, they killed him. And then, of course, his own followers carried on the same struggle, earning for themselves the reputation of creating a disturbance all over the place, unquote. Those words are from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. Now, you and I today have no right to call ourselves the followers of Jesus if we today would content ourselves with the injustices and the inequities of this present world order. Perhaps the deepest obligation for us Christians today is to learn how to become maladjusted. Maladjusted with the things as they are in today's world. As the followers of Jesus, we are not only to endure change or to benefit from it, we Christian people are supposed to produce change, to become agents of change, prophetic voices, catalysts that create change. Our very lives are supposed to become a living protest against war, against poverty, against prejudice and discrimination, against oppression of any kind, against public morals that belittle and bemean human life. Jesus recognized this urgent necessity for change, and he spent his life working for it. His early disciples did the very same. The deadliest thing that could happen to our church today would be for us people to to lose that spirit of revolution and come to terms with things as they are. And yet we know from the pages of church history that whenever there were periods in the past of turmoil or turbulence, there always, at the same time, were signs of this enormous outpouring of God's grace and examples of the ways in which people respond with openness of heart to accept that grace and become the agents of change within the church and society. We also need to know and recognize that we people cannot adequately deal with change until we also have a firm grip on that which never changes. Jesus gave his disciples the words of assurance, "The heavens and the earth will pass away, but my words will not." Today, in the midst of all of the turmoil, upheaval, unrest, there's one thing that we can always count on. The good news, the strengthening, healing news of Jesus Christ's gospel. The truth that he came to tell us and the truth that he lived out in his life. We come back to it day in and day out in our prayers and meditation, year after year, and it will always be there. We will never outgrow it, nor go beyond it. Faith in our living God will never become obsolete. It will grow. The golden rule will never lose its relevance in our human relationships. The family will never become extinct, and the church will constantly change, will constantly continue going through periods of painful renewal and reform. But the church will always be the community of God's faithful, simply because it continues to embody all those great truths upon which our very lives depend. Now, I know quite well from personal experience how very painful and disturbing these kind of experiences are in this age and world that is going through such rapid change. Our Lord understands. Our Lord will not stop it. Our Lord, in reality, is part of and the spirit of evolution, this evolving spirit. And our Lord has established a center of permanence. Today, his words with which he assured his followers are as true as ever. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but my words will not. Thank you.
Thank you.